Just as, well, some of these things will come up later, but Don Cox called to report that the horse trailer has been welded and, you know, maybe still usable for whatever you decide to use it for.
He took it down to his place from Mike's.
I thought we'd decided to junk it. No?
Well, he said before he wanted to junk it just to go and
see if he could do something.
Do something, and then if we decide to
take it back out there, then
sell it or do something.
No, we can use it on the ranch up and down.
I wouldn't want to haul a horse on a highway.
Oh, no, I wouldn't go anywhere. It probably needs a floor and whatnot, which we can saw off the mill. I mean, if the frame's back together, what before it was, there was no frame.
Yeah,
it was held together by the roof.
Right.
But if he says it's they've welded the frame, that's enough to take it home.
Okay.
You're not going to get anything for it if you sell it. So
no.
And if we end up using it on the road, I need to know because I dropped the license on it.
We're not taking it back on a paved road.
Okay.
As long as it stays on the ranch just to move livestock.
Yeah, we can put wood
around.
In it. It's sheltered. It'll keep rain off wood. We'll use that for taking wood or hauling wood.
Okay.
Don also reported that just shortly after our last meeting, the motor in the Chevy GMC one-ton truck was shot. So Don's mechanic at his yard was taking a look at it, pulled it apart, found major problems. He says it had cost about $1,500 to replace a motor and $300 to install it. So we're looking at $1,800 if we decide to put a motor back in that truck. Or what's our alternatives?
This is the truck that the new
Ohio truck.
It was a good truck.
The truck that they got hauled forever to come, and then it's junk already.
Buyer beware.
I think we got a lemon. That's what we got.
I mean, he's talking about a new rebuild shipping.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, that's how I think you can do it.
His other option was if we wanted for him to look for something else at the auctions and try to pick something up, but I, you know, I don't think you're going to find.
$1,800.
No,
you might as well get fixed.
Is this a ranch vehicle?
Yeah.
Is there any reason for the ranch to own it?
We don't have any vehicle. What's
ranch doesn't currently have a vehicle on the property that runs and is registered.
See, I've only been on this board for a short while, but I was wondering how come the ranch was responsible for providing the vehicle. I thought that the manager vehicles would be used. So there is going to be a permanent ranch vehicle.
There always has been.
Okay. Because we have to get to
The
manager's always... have used their vehicles up there, but that's not the intent. The ranch, is supposed to provide the vehicles to the ranch.
I mean, if we don't provide a vehicle, then we're going to have to provide additional pay for someone else's vehicle.
It's rough on vehicles up there.
Well, that would be a consideration. Again, you're talking $1,800 for the repair to the vehicle. If a person was not necessarily rewarded but reimbursed for the use of a personal vehicle, one that they would perhaps use differently than a ranch vehicle.
That's a good question.
It might be a reasonable contribution. If say, for instance,
to reimburse me for my vehicle.
Yeah.
They tried that. Or that was their intent, but they promised me $100 a month for my vehicle, which isn't anything, especially going on that road.
Right.
And they gave me a total of $400. I've been using that truck all year long. So I'm not really anxious to, I mean, I'm beating my truck already up because there's nothing else there. But that did not work out well for me at all.
There has to be a... If we're going to go that way, that's a good
it has to be something that at least
economic
helps.
I'd say we get the truck fixed. We've already sunk money into this truck. We bought this truck.
The trouble is with that truck, it doesn't have a fifth-wheel ball in it to haul to pull a horse trailer. The whole idea is we could pull a horse trailer with it. It had a tiny little engine.
The ranch has gotten out of the horse business.
Then it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter.
Actually, that truck with that flatbed is perfect for sticking one of those big bales on and feeding off. So I would really like to see that truck come back.
Let's get the truck fixed. But
you don't care what
you don't have to worry about.
I mean, the transmission, as far as you know, sound is. found in it, rear end.
Who knows? Oh, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I checked the oil about an hour before it went down. The oil was fine. And it went ka-kunk, 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 ka-boom, bang in the space of about the length of this house. It was running just fine-a-roo on a flat road. And whatever it was, the mechanic said the timing
chain. Did you say it was the timing chain?
Well, yeah, but then when
the
timing
came
off, it just came apart like that.
And I had that happen with an old car of mine, that the timing chain busted and it just...
It's when you lose the valve.
Trashed the transmission. I had to have... That was like $3,000 right there, so... Though I've had it go on my car.
Very reasonable.
Oh,
yeah. If he does a good
bad
job.
If that's the nice thing about Chevys, you know, engines, you can replace them so cheap.
The truck, there's nothing wrong with the truck. Otherwise, if it'll run, I'm happy with that truck. It's an automatic and it's a dually, so you're just pretty much limited to where you can go in a car.
Yeah.
But
it's not four-wheel drive.
It is four-wheel drive,
but it's a dually.
And maybe it's because the engine was tired, but, you know, just going up the Middle Canyon, it barely gets up over the pass. Just going up, it doesn't have any...
Hauling a lot of stuff.
A new engine might make a difference.
Is there a bigger engine we can go? Of course, then you're talking
more money.
Probably double the money when you...
Well, not initially. Initially, the money won't be, it's not the money, it's the fuel if you're talking the difference between the 351 that was in it and the 454 that you put in it if you wanted to pull it.
Well, as you said, this is as much as we pull and stuff, probably.
Maybe find out what the difference is.
Yeah, we'll just find out what he can get, because that's the other thing. Some engines are available for a pretty good deal. And
I know the 350 Chevys are, you know.
Dime a dozen.
Yeah.
So, can pull them out. Okay, I'll have Don follow up on that with his mechanic. He also had communicated with Richard Cawthorn, who was going to go out to the ranch and inspect the tank and see what his recommendation would be on that water tank. Those were the things that Don called and reported.
When you talked to Don, did he say anything more about the Whisper Creek deal?
He said he had talked to them and got a $1,500 discount was all he could get out of what they were offering.
Less than what?
So...
If they want to look at those tanks, they should call me, and I'll make sure that I don't fill them, let the tank go down as low, because when it's really down, you can see everything in there and get in there.
Okay.
If it's full, they can't see anything. So they need to call me like a week at least, maybe more ahead of time, so I can drain it.
I can get the pricing and erecting the kit and everything. The guy's right over there at Duck Creek by the time we have to do a special load. But we need to get results back from the newsletter to see what the response is.
Okay. I don't know. Did Brent talk to anybody about cattle guards, or is that something we need?
I was
Joe Jose has the wedges for it, but that is not going to get done. And I have two standard Forest Service cattle guards. I offered them at cost exactly what they cost me, $750.
I think we'll go with sale.
Beautiful big green 4-inch pipe cattle guards. They're bigger than standard.
Bigger than 8.
12.
Sidewise?
Yeah.
I think.
Are they singles or doubles?
They're singles. I think they're 14 feet wide, but they're quite thick. Is not the word.
Yep.
Width.
Because this is wide.
Length.
That's also wide, but
yeah.
Anyway, no, they're good cow guards. I bought
them. The length is 14.
Length.
The width.
Yeah. The length, I guess you'd say, since you're not driving across them, you're thinking about wide.
Exactly.
They're 14 feet
long.
And I'd say 9 feet wide.
Wow.
They're quite wide.
Oh, that's pretty deep for a cow guard. Usually they're
I bought them off that Three Creeks project up on the mountain in the Forest Service. The cattle guard.
Well, I make money to put it in our budget. Take it out of her road budget or whatever.
And next year, put one at the main entrance.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you might, you know, I don't know how wide you want to go. They're made so you can do it, double them,
right,
or put in a little bar and make them single. But
I don't think we need anything wider than 14 feet in the main driveway.
No.
Or anywhere on the road.
They're never going to have passing traffic on there. People can wait.
I mean, if we, you know, on a road somewhere, we should put a sign up, you know, panel guard ahead, you know.
Yeah.
And if after, if it's a narrow one, just put the width on it, you know. Single width panel guard ahead.
Yeah. Or, especially going into the ranch house right there where you've already got the gate poles. That's a high speed area anyway.
We'll have to, I think we can use Brent's backhoe to put them in and stuff. We'll need some buttressing on both ends.
How wide are the cattle guards out on the Scudamore?
Most cattle guards are about 7.5 to 8 feet wide. So, I mean, your commercial ones, we just put in three.
I don't know exactly how wide these are, but they're wider than the ones that I generally see.
Well, good.
They're made out of four.
They're about, the normal cattle guards are about right here, the Larry wide.
I think they're
okay.
About 7 or 8 feet. I hauled a couple of them up there above Best Friends, and I was shocked because, you know, you just think of them as being 4 or 5 feet. And I loaded them on my truck, and they were hanging off.
I think when I put these on the trailers to haul them, that's a 8-foot-wide trailer.
Most generally, they come in like seven foot sections, you know.
Well, I have them if you want them. If not, the pipe we have out there, but you know as well as I do how long that's going to be before that ever gets built.
And yours is cheaper.
I think it is. I can't buy the metal for what?
$750. So we're going to buy two of them?
It's going to cost us $400 or $500 a piece just to have these welded up.
Yeah.
You want, you know, whether Jose wants to what? You know, the assessment to weld up one of them. That's $425.
So we're gonna do that and pay for it in January? Is that the consensus?
I think so.
How much are they?
$750.
$750? You've probably got in the budget to do it before January if you want to.
It doesn't matter to me.
We still got that Kubota bill that's going to be coming in. And
yeah.
All right. Never mind.
Yeah.
How soon? I guess we'll get to that later.
You want to make a motion?
How soon on the Kubota?
No, I'll make a motion that we purchase the two cattle guards from Ole for $750 a piece.
I'll second it.
We'll pay for them as soon as we get our assessment money in, you know, first of the year. That
yeah.
Work with Ole.
We'll take it out of
our roads.
Road fund.
Okay, do we have a vote?
Better we can take it out of livestock if we got, you know, whatever. I mean, it's livestock.
It's
I think
livestock
mainly, I think it's more for roads, though. Because it's the cows don't need them. It's the members that need them.
Yeah.
Keep the cows out of there, yeah.
Okay, so Taylor made a motion. He seconded it.
He seconded
Don, Southwick seconded it. Good. All in favor.
Or Lauren is still around. We better put him on there.
Aye.
It's actually not a bad place for one right
yeah.
now. In and out of the ground. But,
yeah. It would be nice.
It'll
if
be
we
so
could
nice to have it at the ranch headquarters because everybody has to stop and open
that diagonal instead of... You know, where our road goes through the corner of that forest property.
Oh, where the diagonal is?
From the Red Reservoir back up to
yeah.
Dan's lot, if they'd let us fence the outside.
Yeah, we're going to let us up where Dan's is, the fence, do the fence over. Just barely on there, so on that end.
Yeah.
We got approval.
This is the last time you talked to him about it.
3 or 4 years ago, so I don't know.
I know the guy that is in charge of it pretty good. I could ask him about that. Would be... Oh, a lot better.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's just going to turn into a fencing project for me.
Okay.
Windows.
That direction. Cabin 2 windows are all installed. I hauled them out there that next day after our board meeting, and then John came out Tuesday and Wednesday. We spent Tuesday and Wednesday cutting out all the downstairs windows and putting in all the downstairs windows, and then I went back out on Friday, I think.
Would you get to help you on Friday?
It's me.
You were able to...
Crazy.
That is crazy.
You should have seen what we hauled up those ladders. I mean, I didn't help him install the windows. I just helped him put up the stuff to haul in the window. And he was standing up on a monkey rib. I thought I'd come back and find him bent over backwards on the generator, laying there dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Brave soul.
He is. I have been.
I get a few more years older. Get more sand.
Well, I actually took it all down and redid it.
Really? How'd you get that big heavy board down?
I've done it 100 times or two. Jeez. Then I took it around and set it up on the other end to do the front 2 windows.
Oh.
Linda brought me lunch for dinner. So anyway, they're all in and done. We do need to spend probably a couple hours, somebody on the inside insulating. The new windows
foaming
are a little bit smaller than the old windows, and so inside there's a space to put a foam rope all the way around them to seal them better, and then do a quarter round trim so the inside is finished. But that can be done literally any time. Those basically
soft,
are done.
Great stuff.
Yeah. As long as we're still kind of on that that cabin, Dave Turley does have all the metal for the roof. Linda, did he get a hold of you at all for...
That can happen this year.
Yeah. Are you there, Linda?
I am.
Did Dave get a hold of you on the bill for the metal?
No. I haven't heard from Dave.
All right. He called me last week and just said, is that okay if you pay for the metal and then he'll do the labor and everything on trade? And I said, yeah, that's kind of what we talked about before. So I assumed he was going to call you or send you a bill for...
He's not coming up until after Christmas. That's probably when he's thinking of doing it.
Yes.
Speaking of him, his assessment bill is in that stack of assessment papers. And if you guys end up stuffing envelopes, then take it out because we owe him. He doesn't owe us. I forgot about that as I was making them up. So
I think what we'll probably do is after the meeting today and discussion of everything we're going to put in our newsletter, I'll probably bring all these envelopes back.
Okay.
Depending on when you have a grandbaby, we can get Vance will finish up the newsletter for us, and then...
Then I can print them off. Yeah, he said he'd send me a JPEG. So.
Yeah, he can send it up, and we can have it copied, and then we'll stuff them and mail them all out.
All right.
Monday or Tuesday or whenever.
Then I'll worry about that. But, yeah, he'll probably do that when he's either heading up here or just probably thinking about until after the Christmas. So that, do you want that to go on 2007 or 2008?
We had talked about covering the windows and the metal for Cabin 2 out of 2007, but I don't know where
yes.
we stand.
Then I'll just give him a call and see if I can get a bill from him before the end of the year so I can...
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll move on. Number 4 is the septic pumping, cabin 1, 2, 3, and 4 were to be pumped. 3
all
did
them.
Not get,
they
did
were,
they get 3?
Oh,
with the little truck, they came back in, that's right,
yeah.
I met them. Okay.
$992 worth.
Yeah,
so
how did
3 and 4?
992.
And they hadn't been pumped in ages, so.
Never.
Yeah, how about cabin 1? How did that septic tank get repaired and patched?
Put a, oh.
Brent said he's going to use that 16-inch
sign over it, over the hole. I actually took the old piece, stuck it down below to make a bit of a groove, because it's on the side, it's not really on the top.
Nah,
it's a stop sign. It wasn't a stop sign, it's a parking sign. Some sort of sign. Piece of metal. Folded it over the top. And then sat a rock about this big and about that thick, just a big flat rock right over both of them so that it bridged the gap too. And then that filled dirt on it.
Fiberglass?
No, so it's not sealed. It's just got a covering over it.
Right.
Okay.
He told me it didn't matter because the leach line comes right out from there and begins leaching in the same area. And it's not below the level where it goes. He popped it up on the... Like here on your head.
Right, right.
It's above the level, but not where it's load bearing. It's on the side, but above the level of where the fluid comes to. And so.
My concern on that tank is that the overburden on it is higher, is more than what it should be.
Too much dirt on top.
Yeah.
That's deep.
It should be. Like Benari and I are talking about, it, 4 feet is usually maximum. That's got 7 or 8 feet right now.
And we just talked about.
I don't know. I mean,
over the next few years, taking one cabin completely out of the rotation and redoing a kind of a major renovation.
I think that's a good idea.
We should go in there and terrace the dirt around that cabin. I mean, you can't get out of a car without the door flopping open and yanking your car door hinges off or slamming the door and catching your fingers in it. So when we redo around cabin 1, we should grade it such that it's nice and level and terrace it down, and so that over the top of that septic, it could be
scraped
three
off,
or four or 5 feet lower and not on around the
terrace
front of the cabin.
It, yeah.
So,
and also keep it from the erosion from tearing that area up, too.
Well, right now, the water line that feeds cabin one is right on the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was curious as far as how that patch went.
So, do we?
That's the best we could do. I offered to drill it and sew wire in there. You know, sew a patch on, and in talking to Brent, he said, you know, that'd probably work just fine because he was there when they pumped it out, and we were both there when we popped the hole in it, and it wasn't. It was as it sat before being pumped. It was below that level. So, and that's after, 30 years of use. So
the way that it's covered right now, it can't...
No, it's solid. It's plenty fine. But like he said, there's an awful lot of dirt up on top of that. And we dug way down to get it. But I think it'll hold fine.
Erosion's not going to create dirt.
No.
That part down. I mean,
that stuff is dense clay anyway. The moisture's not going to go down, and the moisture's not going to come up in that stuff.
No.
We're not going to smell anything there.
No. Not with 8 feet of dirt on it, clay on it. All right.
Hank, do you know anything about the water tests and stuff that Brent was getting, the water test kits?
He didn't say anything today.
He didn't say anything out there to me either about that, so we'll have to follow up with him. He was getting test kits. They had been made.
We had planned not to test the upper system until next year. That hasn't changed, has it?
He was going to do a test directly coming out of the spring inside the tank.
Just right after it was drained.
Yeah.
To determine if...
This wasn't a test. It was actually standing in. Or,
yeah, if it was...
We're going to test we do right now ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Well,
real accurate test, but it'd be, you know, enough to see if there's a...
Determine where it's coming from.
Contamination's coming from. Maybe this is a good time to ask the question, because Alan Steed asked it to me on the way over here about his trailer there. He wants to know the board's plans. He says, if, you know, you want him to move, he's planning to move it this fall, he said. It's already winter, and I don't know how he's going to get that thing out of there. But
I had told him several times that the board's position and Rance's position was that he needed to move it. And so he had asked me if I knew of a member's lot or a place where he could move to. And I said, well, I do, but he has a criteria of he's got to have cell phone reception and water. And I said, I don't know of anywhere that you're going to have water and phone reception.
He just wanted to know the board's disposition towards it so that he could make plans.
Larry?
Yeah.
It's Vance, Larry. And Merry Christmas to everybody, by the way.
Merry Christmas.
I kind of clocked in during your prayer, so I've been being quiet. Lower Ranch has water and cell phone service.
One of the other things he was somewhat worried about was when he originally moved up there 2 or 3 years ago was a lot of members kind of had a bad reaction to him camping out in the gravel pit area because they just didn't want to, I don't know, they didn't like him there or whatever. I don't know where he could be unless he was right down at the headquarters area out behind there to have water, phone. And the other thing is in and out, the amount of traffic that he would generate coming in and out of a place. So, I mean, it's something we've got to just decide if it's a service that the ranch members value and like having him out and around, then we need to...
Let me butt in here again. So it's water and cell phone, and he's no longer asking for a place to drain?
He just does that on his own. Where are we at?
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. Well, that changes. I mean, if he's not going to need to drain, life is much simpler.
Well,
if he's going to need to drain things
I think
complicated.
That's part of the problem is where, you know, we've talked about putting some RV park sites down there around the lower part of the hill below the airstrip, and whether we pick a spot out there somewhere along that little access road, the old county road before they created the road up over the hill.
You know, we could make a deal where we say you could do that if you pay to put in a septic. We could, you know, and that would be a good kind of an exchange for.
If you're going to do that, you ought to leave where he is and have him put a septic in there.
Dustin, that's a really good idea. Figure out where the septic for your new place is going to go.
Well, the problem is where he's at now is too close to a spring.
Yeah, we don't like it there. That's the problem.
That's the state health department. Last week we got rid of the cabin. There were small cabins there. That's not finished yet. The state recommended that's too close to your
to the spring. But if we put it over by the airstrip, that's not an issue. But then what about water?
The spot's right below the.
The question is, is he a permanent resident there?
That's
you know, that's not something that I think we should be going.
Right. That's a whole discussion in itself.
I mean,
that's a meeting. That's almost a meeting in itself.
Well, we're here at meeting. Let's do it because I think we need to discuss this because I'm not comfortable with that. I don't, you know.
Well, right now though, it's not on this agenda in a sense. I think it should. But I think it should go through our agenda.
We could put it through as for the next meeting if you want to. But
all you have to say at this meeting is whether you want to move where it is now or not. Because that's the question he asked today on his way.
Is he living in it now?
No, but he does there in the summer. And the truth is, he provides a tremendous amount of work to the ranch, for members and to the ranch itself. And he drives out to and fro. He just wants to know. He didn't really seem like he's too worried about it. He just wants to know the ranch's disposition to that trailer so he can either move it or not.
Well, I think it takes us back to the water issue. Is that what happened to the spring? We need to know that. I think we should test
that
spring.
That would eliminate that variable for sure.
I just know that if the state came back up there and saw, you know, the trailer there and a sewer hose running off the side of the hill into a makeshift septic system, they'll make us do the whole thing on that spring.
At the very least, we need to tell them that trailer can't be there.
At the location it's at right now, I thought earlier
in the year, I thought when he put it there, this was a temporary situation for when he was doing some work for some of the other ranch members.
Right.
And if it's temporary,
not in that spot, but he had
a trailer down at the gravel pit.
He moved in a year ago last fall. To where he's at right now. He's been there for basically a year and a half. Where he's at right now.
Did he leave it there or move it back? I thought he just brought it back in this spring.
He had two regular
camp trailers.
Big camp trailers, yeah, like 35 footers, regular camp.
Right.
You know, mobile.
And this is a full blown mobile.
This is a mobile home.
That's
a single wife.
Yeah.
In fact, he's been there for a year and a half now. It's a good spot if it was because of the spring source. It would be an ideal spot for trailer parts. But we do got those issues with the spring, I think.
The one thing I told him is I've got lot 112, which is below the spring, going down that driveway. You know, when you turn through the gate you put in, if you turn and go down that way toward, who's got the cabin over there on the hill?
The pilot
guy.
California.
I just don't know whether, I mean, it's the same distance from the water where he is now. He had run a water line up to that cabin 55A site. It would be less distance to run water to the site over on my lot. It would be below the spring, so it couldn't be a contamination source. I would still, wherever he goes, I think a real septic system should be put in.
Absolutely.
Corey will get in trouble if he stays.
If he was there, I don't know cell service, you know, because he is kind of on a little hill where he is now.
I don't know why we're accommodating him.
He drops
a lot of your problems just lack of water up to the upper cabin has been because of him.
That's the other issue, you know.
200 foot leaky hoses that's running
he's
water
paid
all the time.
For every bit of the road work.
Yeah, he's taking it out in cows, and we haven't got a settlement on that yet.
Yes, we do.
Do we?
Have the very good record. I have the record. Larry and him have worked together. Linda didn't have the record. That's why her note here says I don't have a paper trail, but we have a very good paper trail, and she just doesn't have it.
Give me that. Show me that paper.
I apologize for that, but it was really a discussion between Larry and Alan, and I was the interim secretary. They just kept – I kept getting the bills, and I have them all for you right here.
Well, okay. Drop them by on your way back up to the ranch or something, or give them to Larry so he can put them in that box. Put them in that box, and then I'll give them.
I believe Larry will be coming to see you after the meeting, he said, and I'll stuff his pocket full of stuff.
Thank you.
A lot of those emails, I have you covered. Don't worry. I just haven't seen you, so I haven't given them to you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think...
I say we need to tell him he can't be there.
It's something to take up almost the whole meeting.
So tell him he needs to move.
Yep.
And you don't know where yet.
I don't think we have a place on the ranch for him.
Unless somebody wants to host him on their own lot.
Which, if they do, then they've got to work.
That's their responsibility.
So he's not allowed to rent for the trailer right now.
Not, it's not a set sum, but he does, like Foley's saying, he does so many favors for the ranch.
We actually told him $250 a month to be there, and that's what he's kept track of, that amount in work that's not billed. And we've got a list of the things he's done that over exceeds $250 a month since May.
Bless your heart, that's all I need.
In addition to that, then we've got ranch work that he's done and built a ranch for him and paid, and then he's done other work that he traded the ranch for with cows, and we've got a paper trail, all of those separate issues, and then he's done a ton of work for individual members, which is all...
You know, in a real business situation, there shouldn't be no trading done. You know, you can trade, but you should be trading dollars for dollars. You know what I'm saying?
That's what he does.
He
gives us the benefit of the doubt on almost every transaction.
I know what I'm saying is, though, I mean, if you really want to be straightforward with it, yeah, you can trade, but let's trade dollars for dollars. We'll pay you a check, and we'll turn around and you give us a check. You're trading it back and forth. In a sense, you're still trading, but you've got...
Your bookkeeping.
You have a record.
100%, 100% accurate, and you don't have questions. If you're running a business like me, you know, I'm a self-proprietor, I can trade all I want to, because I don't have to answer to 300
owners.
Yeah, and there is questions there, so.
So, I mean, but he gives us a better deal, because there isn't a paper trail.
He doesn't want to claim it. Yeah. From a tax perspective.
I would like to.
We need
he's given us a dollar for dollar of what he's doing and a dollar for dollar of what we've paid. I mean,
that's good.
I haven't
you
right
got
here. Darn accurate.
We need to address that water though, because if we wait until spring,
we don't have an accurate accounting for is we ended up owing him about $500 over. After the sale of cattle and whatnot, and he gave us a culvert that we needed for a cow or something like that, and I don't have a record of that. It was an arrangement he made with Larry over the phone. And
we're not going behind on the deal, but there's
no paper.
That him. Being able to
live
there.
We can
here's the summer's worth here for the Blue Ox, our interface with Blue
My
Ox.
My thought is, yeah, well, especially the issue with the water.
We've got to figure that out.
Well, the issue is he's not going to be there anymore. So.
Well, but no, if we're going to open the cabins in spring, the water has to be good. We can't wait until spring to test it, because if it's still bad, then we've got to fix it.
Yeah, that's a separate issue.
We don't even know where the water contamination is coming
from. We have no idea where it's coming from.
Right now, time is on our side. The longer we wait to let whatever's in there dissipate, the better. Unless we find out that it's no different in the spring, then we'll know that there's something coming into the water that we have to fix. But if it was a contamination, the flow that spring is doing right now every day is going to be on our side before we test next.
When we had things pumped, dude, we didn't pump that septic tank that
that's what Brent,
he was on.
Brent was going to do is just test water as it came right in before it actually hit into the tank.
Right, spring box.
Well, can he put in a tank? Can he bury a tank and have the same septic pumpers come out and pump his at his expense?
Yeah,
you know, if we're talking about proximity, he couldn't put a tank in.
No.
Where
in a tank?
Well, it's actually not legally
a tank.
Oh, just
a holding tank.
Holding tank.
And the other thing, he told me that he had gotten the regulations from the engineering and said that even footage-wise, that he was still within the legal limits of putting in a septic system right there where he is, which I haven't measured to say.
Either way, it's
just either way. I had the two state water people up there with me personally, and they highly recommended never to do.
Yeah,
I even mentioned that this new system that you know use bacteria and stuff. They give me that kind of expression. You know, yeah, it might work, but our recommendation is don't do it. Don't have any questions about doing it. And to me, that
type of soil. See, Bryce Canyon, right now the biggest lawsuit on the mountain is Ruby's Inn. Their septic system, which is all approved and engineered beautifully with the settling ponds and everything, shouldn't have affected anything, yet it completely ruined the water system at the Pink Cliffs more than a mile away. Because that clean Navajo stuff, if it gets in between a thing, it'll just run forever, and
now,
there's no way to call
it. The question then is if we suspect that that's a problem, should we have that tank pumped?
We'll have a tank on it.
I don't know that there's a tank. I don't know what what he's using.
He's just draining.
No,
what you described.
You know, I think you could put a septic system in there, and I think if you put 2 or 3 tests of that, it would never interfere with that spring quality. I honestly think that myself, but I was told by the state, you know, don't do it. You know, in my mind, if you can keep the state health department away from it.
Yeah.
Right now, says we're going to take this system. We're not going to say we even know about this system.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But if you start doing that, then yeah, they're going to draw this system back on their map.
Have him put in a
holding
tank.
We got water right now. The state don't even know about it.
I question why we wouldn't make accommodation to have him put a tank there.
Yeah, well,
why
is there
making these accommodations for him? When
I don't know if anybody knew he put the tank there. Because originally it was a travel trailer.
Yeah. I think it's...
He did something on his own.
He could buy a lot. Like, we don't let people land on our airstrip if they're not members. Why do we let them live there if they're not members?
Because he does so much for the ranch.
And, you know, he gets paid for that, though. So.
Is it determined that he is not using a holding tank now, that he's draining
his septic?
He's got some portable,
probably overflowing.
Which, in my mind, it's not creating a big problem, but if the state came up there, it would be a big problem.
Is it approved by the county?
No,
it hasn't. Okay. If it's not an approved system, our rules and regulations state that we should have an approved system.
That's it.
Bottom line. Okay.
So we can just let him know
he's
not there. If he wants to stay there, he's going to have to be hosted by somebody else.
I don't think it's created a problem for us as far as health issues.
Well, we don't have that yet.
But if the county comes in, if the state health department comes in, then we've got a problem.
We have a problem with the water system up there. We don't know if it's created a problem or not.
I'll bet my life on it. I hope it's not. It's quite a ways away.
I agree. I hope it's not.
I think we've got a dirty tank up there. In my mind,
sure.
The tank that has water standing too long.
And that's what I was thinking
it's not used, so you know, it's set there for.
My point is that we shouldn't be making accommodations for them. Yeah,
I
could probably clean it up and with me on that.
That's right.
He wants to
look at
Matthew's
way.
We pay him for his services, whether it's trade or cash.
He
has water in
my cell where he's at right now. Yeah, but he's not going to stay there. We don't want him there. So
not that we.
Well, and it's not our job to find him a place That's right.
Right.
It'd be nice to, you know, work it out if we can, but it's not our place.
I mean, I think we need to take, you know, say, hey, you can't, you got to move out from where it's at. But then, you know, I don't think we should just say we're meal showing. I think we ought to, on our own, come up with some ideas. If we're 100% against not accommodating, that's fine. If there's some other trade.
Look at some of the lots that there are certain owners that would say, you know, if you'll put in a septic system that will be there for me when you leave. Here.
Well, I'm just thinking, too, we've been trying to get an RV pad and stuff up the ranch. If he's willing to maybe go in and level, do some, you know, the site prep and run the sewer systems in it, run the water lines and stuff to it for,
say, have it inspected.
2 or 3 years of parking there, then, hey, maybe that benefits the ranch. As long as some other, you know. Yeah,
but it has to be in an area where it's approved and all
yeah,
that.
Well,
so that, I mean, that's,
when I
just say, meal shift, let's look at all the alternatives.
Yeah.
But I believe with John, we shouldn't be just rolling the red carpet out for him and say, hey, you know, you can go anywhere you want.
I really think that the amount of time he's out there with his family, it almost needs to be on a private lot.
Yeah. Because he's there for so long.
Even though he does benefit for the association, a lot of members don't. They have heartburn that somebody that's not part of the membership is here. You know, why do I bother buying a lot and owning it if I can come just camp out and say, well, I'm here because I dig ditches every once in a while for the ranch.
Well, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't want to encourage him to be on some private lot out away from everybody because you know what it's going to bring. If he's going to be there, I'd rather have him be right in plain sight because I think he'll control his activity a lot more than if he's out in the like a steel hall, where, you know, where he was out of fiber, they already had orange yes day in there, we think, you know, for part of the time, you know. So, I mean, to me, if he's going to be there, it should be in, if we're going to accommodate, it should be in an organized place where it's not being hit.
Well,
you laughing that down there?
If you guys would just listen to yourself. Why? If you only knew.
Okay, so you'll talk to him later today.
I will.
I'll
tell him.
I don't know where he can go, but he's got
to
move.
Well, I'll tell him that we've been looking below Cabin 6 to put in a trailer park. We are willing to discuss a trade on maybe tapping into the line, putting in a septic system that will be a benefit to the ranch, and you know, it may be something that he's not interested in because of the cost, but if he is, you know, he has the equipment to do things that we couldn't begin to do, and if he'd do it on a trade.
He's got access to any piece of equipment made.
Yeah, that's really true. He can bring
maybe in exchange for putting in two paths.
Area. We'd maybe
more than just his.
A full blown.
If we did like a six site area that has six hookups and said this is going to be a whole other discussion. If he says he has an interest in discussing it, then maybe we'll bring him to a meeting and have a talk. But
in the meantime, he needs to move his trailer. Right?
But I think, you know, to try to keep things on a friendly level with him, he says, hey, you know, it's too close to our water source.
To the water.
He knows that. He's been, many we discussed
there.
It earlier. I think that's why he's already thinking that way, and this is good. We had the discussion, I'll tell him, and we'll take care of it this afternoon.
Okay. The tank. Paint in the 40,000 gallon tank. I already told you what Don Cox had reported back from Cawthorn. I don't know if Brent had any other information that he passed on, or Peter, did you? I don't even remember why those different names were put on there.
Well, I've
talked about talking to
Schultz. I didn't pick up, I think, five copies. These are two different, there's four pages, there's two different sources. This is maybe an alternative.
This is ladder.
This is ladders. You can get them that will actually fit inside
the
tank.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Good way to go.
These are two different companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, liner.
On that tank, I'll have to actually have an invoice. Talking to them over there. I don't
What's the warranty on the bladder?
There's too many variables on the pan.
Yeah. Is there a warranty for the bladder so they have like a 10, 20, 50 year?
You have to pull it off.
Put the bladder down inside and then fill it up out of the tank.
Whatever you got to do, the bladder fills inside the metal tank.
And then the bladder actually kind of collapses as it empties and fills. It protects the bladder from the sun.
Yeah.
I say it's a good idea as long as we got a good warranty on it, you know, on the bladder.
Like that. Right now, you know, I really haven't studied it. A lot of information on
as it. As an alternative.
As far as prices and all of that, you know. But I'm sure it's not going to be cheap. But sandblasting it and blue paint and stuff. And then maybe a year down the road we'll have the same problem again. I know Richard. Richard done a lot of work on that thing to begin with. It's actually been done twice.
Yeah.
The original manufacturer got it.
It's probably a good idea.
They got it. And then, even before we use it, we had to redo it.
Well, we can all read and look into this information a little bit more and if that's a possibility.
Okay, there's two different.
Sooner or later, we're going to have to put in a decent water system for the upper cabin. Anyway, the spring is not adequate. We're going to have a bigger tank.
I think the spring is adequate. The amount of water there, I think, is adequate. It's the storage. And
if we have enough storage.
Storage. Up until last year, stuff, I think, hadn't had much problem. I think the main problem has been deep part down there below.
Or usage continually.
Yeah, exactly. It was at the high season that was... That was one of our big problems.
Because, I mean...
We were pumping. I pumped every day, every other day for an hour and a half just to get water up in there. Mm-hmm. And according to... That's been a problem before.
No, and say and our cabbage juice is so a little bit down last year, too, so...
So if they're not there, then...
I think the seeds...
solve some of those.
And we got to watch that door spigot, too. Yeah, I mean... I felt like I'm almost putting a lock on it sometimes. People up there washing cars... Of course, that's in Orlani. Orlani's is the worst for washing. That's another Orlani story. Washing your cars out of that.
That's all we were doing for the first hour. Was
and then people, sorry. Then members that live on the upper end up there,
hauling from there.
And we tried to educate them, no, we don't haul from there. It's closer, but don't haul from there. We haven't got the water.
You got room for it.
Having that lock on that spigot was good because most people didn't even know that other spigot was over there. They just saw the lock when it came down to the headquarters, which is good, because if they needed it and they knew the water was there.
Yeah. You need some of those bones and skulls to find over here. Yeah, bad water.
Spring.
Okay, let's all read about the bladders and see if that's an alternative, plus get back with Richard and see what he thinks on the...
If I remember right, the paint was about $2,500, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Well, my feeling about that paint...
You got receipts all that in your records there somewhere.
On the paint in that tank, I don't know how many of you have actually looked at it, but the bubbles on the end that have peeled off could be cut out, and you could sand the edge of the paint to the metal and just do them in areas. The rest of the tank's in really great shape. It's not like it's all fallen off. It's just the bubble, the round parts on the end, I really think it could be repaired cheaply. Because if I drained the paint tank down and took a vacuum, the standard vacuum, you know, the one that sands and sucks it at the same time so you don't get it into your water, and then just repainted those areas and saw how that would go, it's certainly worth doing before you go to any more expense. Because it's not like the whole tank's in pretty good shape. It's just on the ends and both places where it bubbles, it puckered, and then those things broke with the water.
What kind of access do you have to that tank?
Really easy. Just get
good access.
In it. The thing, I haven't wanted to get in the tank.
I thought it did
bathing. Anytime you get into a situation like that, that's a confined space. Okay, in a confined space, there's requirements for when you do work in confined space.
Right.
Sure, you have another person with you.
You got to have ventilation. Yeah. You got to have safety. You have to have.
Well, what I'm saying is the damage to the paint that has come off is not. Tank wide.
Yeah, okay.
Just in a couple of spots.
Is it because the tank, you think, is flexing in those?
I have no idea. It's just on the ends, and that's why I'm saying. But I can drain that tank And the other thing is, I could take the paint off and not do anything to just those spots.
Exactly.
And I really don't think I have a problem. The only reason I have not gotten in the tank till now is I don't want to contaminate the water by getting down in it. I just look at it. But next time it's drained, I'll have you come out and look. You'll find it's not that drastic. It just, I think you could cut the paint out of the bubbles, take the edges down, and leave them. Just let the water contact the metal for those spots there. It's not a safety hazard or a health hazard. Just take them out.
All right. Hang on a second, Ole. You need to ask the state. That's a certified water system. You need to ask them what they'll be willing to live with.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
if they insist on a lined tank, then you got to have a lined tank.
We can repaint those spots.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. When Brent and I took a big old mirror up there, and we shined light all the way to the far end, and the cylinder is fine. It's just the ends.
Right. That's how I felt about it, and I'm sure we can fix it a lot cheaper or pretty cheap if we can just drain it and work on it. It's worth trying to work on the spots first before we redo the whole tank, because the majority of the tank's in good shape. It's just the...
Right. And that's, you know, money-wise, we're not talking about a lot there.
No.
Oh, I think Richard will do the work possibly for free. I mean, the labor part as kind of a warranty. And if we can buy, you know, if it's only the two ends, we may end up with buying
5 gallons
of epoxy paint.
Right. I mean, follow up on your bladders as plan B, though, you know.
Yes.
I mean, find out about them. Find what they cost. Find out where they're at, you know, all the good stuff.
If we go off the bladder, we'll have to notify the state anyway. You know, that's what we're doing. If we just
repair
the tank, I don't think we even have to notify the state. As long as we're just making...
If you're going from a lined tank to an unlined tank, they may not be real happy about that.
No, if we leave it exposed, yes.
Right.
But if we just go in and repair the damage spots, I don't think...
Agreed. Especially if you use an, you know, APWA approved coating, and I'm sure that's what you've already got.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, I like kind of like Ole's idea. It's worth a shot, and it'll certainly, you know, maybe you can, you know, describe the problem to the people who sell the coating, and they may, so one of those guys may know exactly what happened to you.
That's true too.
You know, it's like, well, the middle part was fine. The ends, which are slightly concave, they're not flat. And I can't prove it, but I think that's what's doing it to you. You know, it's not holding on.
It was sprayed on originally, though, wasn't it?
Is there a primer?
Oh, I'm sure it's.
I can't remember. I think he rolled it. I'm not sure. He rolled.
I was going to say, on the mound spot, if you cut out the bad spot and then painted it so that you're following the curve, rather, because with a roller, you know you're not going to get the contact that you get on a flat surface, and it's on the ends. So you could go in and just... You know, just spot fix it and paint it on really securely. I bet you it fits right up because there's no, I mean, it's coming off that thick on those ends. If you could just give a good coating.
Yeah, I'd be careful of the safety hazards. Getting in a tank with fumes coming off
from the paint
and not being on respirator, air source or something.
Not the whole.
He's got a lot of tanks.
Yeah. Well,
Richard,
getting a professional.
Larry, I'd be concerned about anyone else.
How would you know if I'm
not a
retard than the thing?
Well,
yes, I have more brain cells.
All the damageable ones are gone.
We definitely need to be safe.
Really, the only man then.
We need to be safe on our operations there.
Okay, we'll follow up with Richard Coffin to look at it and see if we can just repair those two ends. I'll check back with Don because I can't. I mean, he told me 10 things today, and I can't really remember. If I'd have stopped and pulled over and rid of the town, I could have remembered. He was talking to me while I was driving. The propane fridges. Do we know anything new or different? Did Brent say anything to you?
You know, you haven't mentioned a word about the fridges. They were in there for repair.
He took the ones in to be repaired, and then AmeriGas was also ordering a bunch of new ones.
Right, yeah.
And that's...
They haven't showed up at the ranch, and he hasn't said anything about them. He just kind of said, I'll handle it, so I'll check with him later today. I'm going to be seeing him later today.
Okay.
Just find out where we're at.
Kubota tractor, have you heard anything new or different from
I called Danny first of the week, and the clutch is in. Now they're waiting on parts for the front seal on, I guess, on the front tires, the seal on it. So,
okay.
But the clutch is a little over $4,000, so.
Holy smokes.
So we're going to be into it.
Yow.
I wish, if I had to say it, that thing would have been hauled here to carry the Kubota. Even Kubota charges more per hour. Parts are available.
They've done
that. And that's hours probably actually
they don't have to wait as long. Yeah.
We had a price before for a clutch. And it went up the first time, they said $3,500. But that was a year and a half ago. But,
yeah.
Well, we do need...
But it's getting close. It's getting close.
That'd be good. So. The, we can't put the logs on the mill. We can't put the take the hay off the... Can't do anything without it. So we kind of need it.
I'm thinking with them next week.
That'd be so great.
Okay, that brings us right into the hay. Did we decide that the original hay you were going to have brought was canceled?
I think Mark might cancel. I'll check on that.
Hay has been delivered.
I know Alan called me and told me he had taken some out, and he was taking some more out yesterday.
Well, he called me just this morning, and he had his truck liner coming in, so he'll be out Monday with it.
Okay.
And I went over and looked at the hay on Sunday. It's excellent hay. He's delivering it for $100. We could not beat the delivery. They dropped it $20 a ton for us. So we bought it at $180 a ton delivered, which we tried every other hay available. The closest I could come is $140 a ton in Delta. But by the time we get it out there,
we're
way over $200 a ton again. So... we really got a good deal there.
Only bad thing about it is the big bales.
It is, but that's not such a bad deal. If we get that flatbed back, those things will fit perfect in there. I can drive out, feed it off. You had a good idea if we put it in our old horse trailer so that the weather doesn't get out of it. I can take it out to where it's going to be and just feed it, and then I only have to load it like once a week.
Yeah, so we don't want to have it there and then have it spoiled.
No, it won't. I'll tarp it. I'm going to buy the tarps for it today going back. When it's set, we'll tarp it. But if the Kubota works, I can take the Kubota. He's going to lend us some spikes.
The spikes that are there.
And I'll just put it on that horse trailer and just kind of shove it in, shut the gate, if I'm going to haul it out to where they're going to be, or I can put it on the truck from there. But anyway, if we have the Kubota, the big bales is not a problem. It is a bigger pain to feed, but it's not any harder to regulate because the way those things are compacted, they come in 4 to 6 inch
flakes. And you just
measure your flakes.
Bigger flakes.
I know we can get by with less hay than we have been told we can get by with, but our cows, I don't know if you've ever seen the Charlie Russell painting, Waiting for a Chinook. Look at that sometimes. That describes our entire herd.
Bones?
Just bad shape. But... anyway, hay problem solved. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. The discussion items we've got on there, I don't know. Does anybody have anything more out of Larry Sims on the security and gates?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't follow up with him. I need to.
I didn't know
will.
He was
I thought he was going to be here, but maybe he thought the meeting was elsewhere.
He's committee chairman, too. So.
Something you guys might be interested in. There has been a real estate agent calling me every other day trying to get a hold of Larry Sims. Evidently, he has that lot and cabin on some site for sale. So.
Get out.
I had understood before from him that was his plan, was he was going to build it and then sell and build another one. And sell, that was kind of his...
Okay, it was just a side note, not any other thing that been able to get. Larry's not returning his call.
Very secure until next year because there's 18 inches of snow and nobody's going in there to steal anything.
That's part of what he wanted to know.
Rent a car, snowmobile.
Rent cars go anywhere.
Or tracked vehicle or something.
They rent a tank.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
I will rent Fulmer's house, Larry, on that. Okay.
We'll go back to that one later on.
As far as hang tags and stuff, if the next meeting, Linda, are you planning on being at the next meeting next month?
She's not. I don't have any other babies on the run.
Okay. If you're going to be at the next meeting, then you can go by my house and we can order them then, and that way I don't have to worry about the money situation and we can get those done.
Okay.
And that way they'll be ready for spring when we need to pass them out.
Sounds good.
Vehicle maintenance needs. We've already talked about the flatbed truck and the motor down there.
The van. And the Ford's going to downtown. Just coming for
yeah.
We can get the hub and people. I guess Brent didn't pass the word on from the last board meeting. Tell only to
fix it.
Do the hub.
No. Nobody told me, and I talked to Barbara. She says, yeah, we approved to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Brent told me he was my new manager's manager boss out there, and I thought he was being serious, and Barbara said he was kidding me. I've been reporting to
him. Well, that's kind of what, didn't we, I don't know what we did.
He's supposed to be the communication person.
What I said, well, if you know, got to be my manager, then that makes me an employee. I said, I don't have to go to meetings anymore, right? Sure, that's how it's supposed to work.
Did anybody read all the documents that Barbara sent out? What the business manager did, what the responsibilities for the ranch manager.
I have all the responsibilities. I saw that in the notes.
Did anybody read any of that?
Yeah. But it's on
can
the
you see
there.
The difference between
yeah.
what was and what is?
When we hit that area, I have the one I was given, but it's going to come up later in your agenda. So
yeah,
we're not there yet.
Because a bunch of those responsibilities that are in her documents did not translate into the stuff, what the current business manager does now.
Right. Well, and we've changed. That was back 4 years ago when all those documents were done. That was what Barbara's job title was at the time.
Yep. That wasn't, she never had a job title. She just like, kind of like what Linda is right here.
Yeah.
Something needs to be done. Oh, let Linda do it. Back then, oh, let Barbara do it.
I mean, but that was that job.
It's
the ranch.
It's been the people running the ranch to write up their own job description. That's not the way it should be. Or should be.
No, the one I got, the one on the contract here is spelled out pretty explicitly. The ranch is job
right.
Managers.
We went over that
about a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just got the early copy out of that last night.
Did you see the documents that Barbara put out?
Those ones? I could. My computer will not bring those attachments up. I cannot.
My contract is in the box there. The original list of job description is in that box, plus my contract. And that's when I was hired. That the one that is just printed out with no header or anything like that. That's what I was told I was going to be doing. And then the contract had a few more things in it when we finally got down to signing a contract. So mine's in there in that box. Hello?
They're thumbing through the box.
Larry,
okay.
That's that whiskey box that's not meant to stuff in.
Ask Linda where that box came from.
I couldn't find Ollie's contract. I don't have Ollie's contract or even a copy of what it was. I never have had.
I have one with me today that was the first one that old Bob...
Bob Becker.
Bob Becker.
Gave me...
Hey, there's a paper here, Linda, that has your name written at the top and then in pen. This was the job description I was given when I was hired.
That's it.
Job description number 2.
That's what it was given to me when I was hired, and then my contract is also in there.
That's Linda's contract, not Ollie's.
Right.
I can't find Ollie's.
I don't have Ollie's.
We're going to get to the bottom of that today, because I shall not hear another word on that subject.
Oh, I don't know. I don't see your contract, Linda.
It should be in there.
Oh, perfect. Another missing contract.
No, it's right next to where that other paper was. I put them in together.
Modern day papers or something.
Somebody shredded it.
I know there's nothing in either one of those contracts that is of interest to anyone on this planet, so they can't have been stolen.
Eaten by a goat.
I read this old copy when I had it. I says, what? They're not pretty simple.
Well, the two papers in it, there's an envelope on the American Land Rights Association. There's the Linda job description number 2, and then an email from Alan Beebe. And then the little packets that we handed out to everybody, unless somebody got a packet that's got something extra stuck in it.
That may be because I put it in that box, and it's not here in my living room where the box was, so.
What are we supposed to do with this?
I don't know. We get order on email all the time. You can either send it back to them or...
Get an order on
email. Do what Art does with it.
Shredder.
I went up to Art's house, cabin one day, and he had, I mean, there was mail there scattered everywhere, and it was all unopened. I mean, there was credit card, you know, from credit card companies and banks and stuff. I'm sorry, don't go via mail.
Well, he sends it to my mailbox, so we get it quite regularly. I don't open it. It's just bank statements and whatnot.
Well, it reminds me, I have a Christmas card for you, Ollie, when you come back through town.
I just brought the garbage cans.
Do you know who it's from?
Art does better.
Is it from you?
Scott, why don't you come over and you grab one of these to read it? We didn't take anything else out of this box, did we?
No.
You just got one of these with the map and everything.
I just grabbed the whole packet of just I put everything back in.
Missing
Nathan?
Yeah.
Nathan.
We seem to be missing quite a few documents. So we don't have, or maybe we're not missing quite a few documents. Let me rephrase that. I think we need to have all of our important documents in one secure place.
Yes.
And then I wouldn't mind having copies of those secure documents.
I could do that.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Okay, what would you include in that? What?
Our agreements with the BLM for cattle grazing and whatnot,
okay.
Range improvement.
Water rights.
I think water rights. I'm just kind of listening, you know.
All those
well, let
be
me add
play on
track because in the ranch house, I have found since I've moved there and out in the cabinet in the laundry room, things that seem to me to be really important. I would be more comfortable if they were somewhere secure-er.
I think that all that stuff should
because,
be...
Because, I mean, we do. We have a lot of documents.
Well,
and
what we should do is we should have all the real important
title,
stuff
exactly.
In a the bank...
Vehicles.
In a bank box.
Well, I have a
bank
box.
Deposit box at the bank in case we have a fire or something else, and then we should also have copies. Linda should have copies.
Well, those, I think, should be stored somewhere other than at the ranch headquarters, especially
yes.
Where we have a wood-burning stove and it's basically built like a matchbox. Anyway, they're sitting in a box. I got a box from Barbara right when I started, and it's in a cardboard box, and I haven't changed anything about it, but it's basically just slid under that fence in the office. But then out in the laundry room, we have a lot of stuff, like all of our, you know, our Kubota stuff and things that we've bought and the records that are just sitting there. There should be some place where all that stuff goes rather than, because people ask me for something, I'll go, I think I saw that here. Like the contract we had, our grazing contract, was in a lawnmower folder in the one that we used.
I had originally proposed when we talked about the whole pavilion thing that we would actually have an office for a ranch manager.
Well, that's been
well,
the problem. Over the last 10 years, everybody wants, hey, those records need to be at the ranch. That's board. That's what they want. They want.
Well, I don't care. If they need to be at the ranch.
I agree with you guys. I mean, there's some stuff that needs to be there. There's some stuff that.
What if we put a spot in the old store or something that was secure, someplace not subject to fire as much as where they're at now, and then just made a vault or
fire cabinet?
Solar system connex.
He donated.
What was that, Vance?
Put them in the solar system connex.
Yeah.
The container out there.
Yeah.
In a fire safe. I have a little fire safe that I would donate. It's not huge, so I don't know how much documents we're talking about. But
a few stuff. Cabinet. That filing cabinet.
At the very least, a filing cabinet.
Yeah, anyway, we should have at least one central location, one secure
area.
Because right now,
where
we
keep everything. We
have a box here and a cabinet there.
And all the most important stuff should probably be at a bank.
Well, a lot of the important records, there's copies that Dale's got copies of. Anything that's really important, I'm sure.
Yeah, all the old...
Dale has been really conscientious about...
He does.
Keeping records of stuff that's really important.
Okay. Well, if somebody identifies the location, I will gladly take everything I have to it because I don't feel comfortable having it there.
That's information you need on a daily... Not daily basis, but
well,
you need to
the location
it.
Is, I'll go to it. But
or if you have a copy of it.
Like the brand inspector asked for a copy of our certified brand, And I knew it was current because I had looked at it, and I found it in that box Barbara gave me. And I thought, well, you know, Barbara kept pretty good records, so I can generally find what I need there. But the filing cabinet's filled with things that go back way before Barbara's time, and there seems to me pretty important stuff in there. And it just sits there right under our chemicals, our cleaning chemicals.
Let's put that in the Connex. So we have a filing cabinet?
Probably should get a different filing.
Or do we need a new one? And if we need a new one, let's
get one. The one we have...
and make it lockable.
We'll just put it in that one and put it out there, and then if somebody can come up with a better... It doesn't lock. It doesn't... And one of the doors...
All the Connex locks, so...
Well, but we should have a lockable...
Oh, yeah, but we need everything. Everything that's important should be in one location, and like I said, I wouldn't mind having copies of some of that information. It's just for my own education.
Well, I identify a spot, I'll be happy to take it there.
And we should have some of that.
You got the manual. Like, there should be a manual on the... Couple manuals,
yep,
the Kubota and stuff like that.
Those are in the filing cabinet, and we have used those. Like when we had to get the
it would also save us when we discuss items like, well, we need to know, we need to refresh our memory.
There's a diagram.
We can break it out and say, yeah,
diagram for the water lines.
Got all that. That's in the
office. I agree.
They're located.
That needs to be organized. And
oh, incidentally, Linda, you wanted an inventory?
Yes.
I brought the inventory today here. Maybe that's coming up later in her notes, but I'm going to send that with Larry. Anything that has been acquired that you have receipt of, you know, since I've been here, put on there. One thing, though, that I am adamant about is I would like someone else to do anything to do with the inventory. I mean, I hear a lot of things that when the Becksteads left, they took all our tools, and when this guy left, he took this. I don't ever want to be in that situation ever, so I don't want to be the guy who does the inventory so someone claims that I missed this or didn't do that. I would like a third party who I'll be happy to help, but that I feel like I have a conflict of interest where I'm the guy who would be accused if a tool walked off.
I think a board member should be responsible.
I'd be a lot happier.
I don't want to do that with you because I know what should, for the last 7, 8 years, I know what the ranch has purchased.
I'd be happier with that.
Having looked in that area, we need to have some more storage in there.
I know what inventory is worthless too. You know,
boxes.
An inventory, Linda, which I'll send with Larry for your tax purposes.
Thank you.
And then, whatever we do on top of that this year, we'll make notes and just add to it. You just need to keep this so that it continues to run. But I'll send it with Larry.
We should go through.
I'll just get a copy of that before you go.
For the record, the Becksteads didn't take off with anything. It was the people after them.
No, the Becksteads did take a couple of things, but we ended up making an agreement with them later on. So there was a tailor, a chainsaw. There was a few things, but they didn't actually take it all up and go.
Well, I've always had kind of a burr in my bonnet about that. I've worked on lots and lots of ranches and have been mixed up with having to apprehend the people who do. I personally believe that I won't have a sheep in my herd one day longer than it should be because I believe it curses the rest of my sheep. But anyway, I don't ever want that to be a question upon me. So if someone else could assist in knowing what's there, and knowing what's not there, so that when I'm not there, no one says, I think that guy took it.
Okay.
You want to look through that? That's the old
one. The tailor's going to fill that bill, right? Is that what I heard?
I can copy of it. And I guess I go over it. I mean, $1,000 is already the only thing that's got value to us is that new chainsaw, basically.
I donated the chainsaw.
Huh?
I donated the chainsaw.
Up there?
Yeah, I gave it to Brent. It's a Husky rancher. It's all. But I donated.
Is that the one that was at the ranch when I got there?
You
had a Husky too.
We had a Husky up there, which is pretty good. A newer saw.
One saw other than the one that we bought.
And I know Brent has a saw.
Okay.
That's Brent. This is the ranch itself.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
No, we bought a new seal this year, and Linda has that on the inventory.
My
I bought all the other tools we got up there. We bought cheap aerobic tools, but, you know, after 1 or 2 years, you need to consider them junk anyway.
Right.
I mean,
well, the stuff's full of stuff.
We just need to go through it. We need to organize it. We need some shelving and boxes to organize it.
Problem.
Labels.
I've offered a time or two to clean out the shop. One of the problems is most of the stuff in there is member donated, and Brent says you can't throw any of that away until the board decides what it is. I says, well, I can't.
Then let's have some member of the board make that decision, and
we
go there when you're
doing. We need to go through an inventory everything that.
That's what needs to be done. Well, what I was saying,
having to kill
birds with one stone. At that point, when somebody is willing to mobilize to do the inventory, they should also have some sort of jurisprudence over. I mean, that shop is to my neck in stuff, and every time I want to clean the they donated 10 gallons of this.
You could have seen that thing 4 years ago if you think it's full of stuff right now.
Really?
You couldn't even get in there.
Well, that's the thing. How can I clean up this stuff? I mean, they wouldn't even let me throw out a range that we can't use, so I had to take it out to the bone pile by the tank. That old bridge that is absolutely, they won't let me throw it away.
You won't.
Well, Brent says that's, the members have to have an opportunity at it before we throw anything in the dump.
If it's junk, get rid of it.
There should be maybe a board meeting or maybe a big minga is what they call them in South America where we have a members party and we say, today I'm going to put everything in the shop on the front lawn. If you want to
take it,
anything that you don't take, we assume you don't care about because we're gonna chuck it or store it. Right now you can't hardly get in the shop. And
here's a good example. I'm not exaggerating. When Bart and I went up there, there was over 15 hot water tanks. Stacked around the ranch.
Yeah, we still got several.
And I mean, the washout there, I mean, it received tons and tons and tons of absolute junk. If I took it to the landfill, I mean, we'd have had a, you know, $10,000 trip charge.
We had a bill, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if it's junk, let's get rid of it.
Yeah.
Hey, put it in that hole just next to the driveway and then put dirt over top of it.
When's our next meeting going to be at the ranch?
The next
thing. The one after the next one?
Well, I think it's going to get any of it. February is not going to be nicer either.
Through the winter would be a bad idea. We have some issues in there that need to be taken care of prior to that. For instance, we have had board meetings where people have said they're going to do the signs and put them up. And whatnot. We have all those beautiful signs made, all the numbers sitting there, they're clogging the way.
The problem with the signs is we have no posts for them.
We live at Deer Springs Ranch. We've got 4,000 posts.
Yeah, but somebody's got to come in. If you come in, you got to have
the sign committee.
That's what I'm saying. Who is? What is? But if it's not going to happen.
Oh.
We haven't got a sign.
But it's not going to happen if there's not posts pre-made and done there.
Why don't you take the numbers, hand them to the lot owner, say, you want to put it up, put it up?
No, that's the problem, though.
Because they don't put it up, then you don't know where they're
lying. Then they don't put them up, and then the sign's gone.
That's what we specifically said. All right, if you sign out for your sign, if you're taking it, you sign out for it. We expect it to be. Here's
what about these posts? We got a
lock screw,
and road signs. Those all need to be put up.
Okay.
But
now,
who's going
to
do it?
The best time of the year to do that would be
when you can make a hole in the ground.
When?
In the summer.
Okay. All right. What I'm saying is, work on the signage. The things are just not getting done. You can put me down for signage.
If you make the hole, we can put some signage.
A lot of time I didn't make
it. I would have loved
got to get done.
All summer.
Drillable.
Yeah. I know, I understand.
All summer, I would love to put out posts, but I don't have any posts to put out.
I will get some posts. We got access to the
I have a period for posts. I've been cutting posts all year long. I plan
if we get a big stack
posts,
of posts ready for the
really
spring.
That's not really the problem, any more than the signs are the problem. The signs are there. The posts are a matter of a day's work. It's getting somebody who knows where the sign goes, what the road is. I mean, we had a sign committee all set up.
It's on the...
And then nothing happened with it. We had two meetings where we talked about it.
Right.
And Fred Searle volunteered to put green and yellow on don't enter and do enter things. That never happened.
Oh, a year ago, I volunteered to take a tractor and auger up there and drill holes, you know.
Yeah.
Just needs to get done.
It needs to be an organized weekend party where we go and somebody has a tractor, can drive along and just poke holes, go to the next intersection, next block, poke holes, and then somebody's coming behind them setting posts. Somebody else is lagging on signs.
And so
it's happened.
Do we got the signs now? I thought that was the end of
it. They're beautiful.
Road signs are all there.
Yeah.
Yeah, signs are all there.
I know he's having
overflowing.
Not the problem with paint. Up on
well, one of the reasons one of the reasons I brought up the inventory is that we need to look at what we have, and then once you
and
have an inventory, you can also what condition every year you go by and you check your inventory is what condition is this in, and you can plan for and project for.
I'll tell you something though.
We're talking about all the infrastructure. We're talking buildings and.
I think as far as order goes, it would be far wiser to have the cleanup throw out before you take the inventory, or you're going to be inventorying things that you're going to throw away. So the best thing to do is clean it up, throw back in what should be there, and then inventory.
I should take up more time, but here again, when we first went up there, there's leaky valves and stuff, water valves.
Boxes and boxes.
Dig up the leak, and valve in the shed, so we're going to get that. Put that valve on, turn the water back on. That valve leaks, you know. I mean,
I know they put the broken ones back in.
Okay. I need the inventory for taxes, personal property taxes.
You know what, Linda? For that, I think we're just going to have to go with the inventory I just handed to Taylor. And
that'll be good.
What's that?
That's fine.
I will get it back. I'm going to send it with Larry to you. He's just going to copy it and then add on what we got this year because you know what those are because we have receipted. Go with that, and then we'll clean up in the when it thaws. We can get everything out. We'll gut those sheds, throw them out, have the members come up, put back only what we need, and then inventory that.
That inventory with all those little things that are in it, that's just a ranch inventory that we need to have to know what is on the ranch, like what you said, so we know what's there. And aren't questioning what's gone and what's not there and that sort of thing. We just need to have an inventory for that, too. It's two different inventories.
Yes, and we also, a lot of members will come out and say, oh, that's mine. I'm just lending it to the ranch. We have to have some definitive thing that says if it's the ranch's, you know, leave it. But, we have things out there that people are lending to the ranch. That's a real bad idea because if we inventory it and pay taxes on it, or if they come and get it later and then someone says, well, who stole that one? Actually, the person who lent it brought it. I mean, the tiller in there is lent to us. A number of the tools, God bless Brent, have been lent to us, but he wants them back. And so I have told everybody that tries to do that, I don't want a Band-Aid. If the ranch needs it, let's get it. If they don't, but I really don't want gifts that are impermanent because I don't know how to feel about it.
Well, it's like the sawmill, you know, that's not the ranch's, and so we shouldn't pay personal property on it. So that was what some of those things are.
Whose is the mills?
It belongs to Ken Lent, Bob Becker, Brent Palmer, and Brock Bank.
Okay.
And
Bill Brock.
So that's
not an issue with the taxes. We don't put
That isn't an issue unless somebody could decide to come out and check and say, well, you have a sawmill in your shed there. Who does that belong to if it doesn't belong to you, you know?
And then we tell them who's it belongs to.
Right. That's why I need an inventory.
That wouldn't show up in our inventory. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I doubt the IRS is going to come in and look at, see.
The only thing I've purchased this year is the chainsaw, right?
I'm sorry?
The only thing that I've acquired this year is the chainsaw.
Hand tools and stuff, they're not concerned with a hammer and a saw.
No, they're talking about major equipment.
Yeah, that's what it is. Major stuff, big stuff, you know. Like for instance, I'm not there personally involved. I'm only involved in that I do the paperwork, which trailers work, which ones don't, what do we declare as personal property, that sort of thing. That's what I need to know. Does the shed go on personal property? We have a solar system now that needs to go on personal property. So
it's not fully paid for yet, though.
And it's not fully functional, so it's like the don't tax them until they're finished.
Yeah. I wouldn't count that.
In that regard, we don't owe a tax on the whole rent.
Yeah, not complete, not finished.
Okay.
Give us another 150 years, huh?
Yeah.